Turning this culture around one conversation at a time. That's our topic on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Sue Trombino, who's the president and founder of an organization called WIN, Women Impacting the Nation. Their website is womenimpactingthenation.org. And Sue, it's great to have you on the program.
Well, I'm honored to be on with you today, Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Sure, and I love your tagline along the lines of, when we show up, we win, which is so often true. In the culture war, so often we've lost because we, on our side, we just haven't shown up.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think especially as your listeners are Christians, I'm assuming most of them are Christians.
Yes.
We need to engage in our culture, and the problem is that we are getting involved in our own self-centeredness, I think, and we haven't looked at what is really happening around us, and our country, unfortunately, is we're allowing, you know, as a centurion, I was blessed to be able to go to the Chuck Colson Centurion Program. And one thing is that we've compartmentalized our faith. And, you know, everybody has a worldview,
mm-hmm.
but it's either pagan or biblical. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of what people call themselves Christians compartmentalize their Christian worldview. And I think we need to get back to, what does God say? What lens do you look through to the world? You know, how are you looking at the world? You know, what lens are you looking through that? And is it through a godly perspective? You know, what does God say about that? And I think we've kind of lost our way because we have so watered down, number one, the gospel. We're just trying to be really like the world. It's just a little easier. It's not easy right now to stand with your principles. And I think that's what we do at WIN. We have what's called a WIN talk, and we have WIN talks all over the country. And they're basically a book club, and the people meet for an hour and 20 minutes, and we pray, we pledge, and we praise when we read books. Every book has a different hymn, and the women and men get educated on truth and fact versus emotion and conjecture. And I think we've lost, you know, really the history of people really don't really understand how, you know, we were founded, what we were founded on.
Yep.
And so I think we've kind of lost all of that, and we need to get back to, you know, what are we, you know, why are we here? I mean, I'm kind of bouncing all over the place here, but why are we here? What, you know, how are we making a difference? And we can't make a difference unless we're in the culture, unless we can make a difference in our families, obviously, but then somebody's going to make a difference. You know, some side is going to win. It's either going to be like maybe the abortion side or the life side, the God side or the other side.
All right,
somebody's going to win.
Right, and let me jump in here. Give us an example where you had a conversation with a lady, and just very irenely, in other words, peacefully, you promoted the idea that she needed to kind of think through her politics and apply the mind of Christ to them, and not be afraid to think Christianly and to vote Christianly. But I think the issue in contention was related to abortion. Can you tell us about that conversation and kind of recap it? And again, I like that idea of turning this culture around one conversation at a time. And this is an example of such.
Well, I was talking to a gal who I know is a Christian. I believe she is a Christian, but I think that she's been kind of bamboozled a little bit because of the culture, what she's watching on TV. But I decided to ask her some questions. And I said, you know, I'm doing just a little bit of a survey. I'll call her Lily. And I said, Lily, let me ask you some questions. I said, I know that you're a Christian. I said, you do believe in God. Is that correct? And I think this is a story you wanted me to tell. I'm not sure. But
yes, it is.
She goes,
yes.
Of course I believe in God. And I said, okay. And then I went down and I said, well, do you believe in the Bible from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between? And she said, yes. And I just went through the whole, you know, the whole gamut of, do you believe in marriage between a man and a woman? you know, a biological man and a biological woman? Yes, I do. I said, are you pro-life or are you pro-abortion? And she was a little bit taken aback by that because she just looked at me and she was mostly on pro-choice. I said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you are pro-life or pro-abortion. And you see, words matter. And so finally she realized what I was saying. She was, oh, gosh, no, I'm pro-life. And I said, okay. I said, are you pro-Israel? And she said, absolutely. And I said, okay, well, what is the capital of Israel? And she says, well, it's Jerusalem. I said, okay, great. And so I said, you know, I said, I'm going to ask you one more question. And I said, it's a two-part question. And so I said, you may not know the first one because I had a feeling she voted Democratic. And so I asked her that, you know, I said, what is the platform of the Republican and the Democratic Party? And she said, well, and I know you voted Democratic, so tell me what the platform of the Democratic Party is. She goes, well, they're for the poor, they're for, and I said, stop, wait one second. And then I reiterated everything that she just said. I said, you're pro-God, you're pro-this, pro, and I said, you will know them by their fruit. And then I went and I went through each one of the things about God, how they try to take God out of the platform. They are pro same-sex marriage. They are pro abortion. And I said, really, a lot of them are, they say they're for Israel, but if you go see how they voted, they are not pro Israel. And I said, you know, this is the problem. There's a disconnect. And we say we're one thing because our family's been Democrat or Republican all, you know, our life, so we tend to do that. Instead of thinking and realizing what's important to me and what do I believe and then why do I believe it? And so when I got through with her, just going methodically through that, I said, you say you believe all of these things, but yet there's a disconnect in how you vote. And I said, your vote is a seed and you will reap what you sow. Hence the reason we're in the mess that we're in, because as a Christian, we need to go back to say, what does God say? You know, not what the culture says, not what my family, my husband, my neighbor, what does God say? Because we're accountable to God.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I just realized that there was another story that a gal, you know, said to me, Sue, you know, I am a Democrat. And I said, okay. I said, well, are you interested in what's happening in this country? And she goes, yes, I am. And so when she came to do a talk, she listened to a talk I gave, she was blown away by what she didn't know. And so when she asked me, you know, Sue, I just don't know who to vote for, even though when we do not tell you how to vote or who to vote for, I just kind of stir the pot and get you to think, you know, think biblically. If you say you're a Christian, then what does God say? Well, when I asked her what was important to her, she immediately told me that she was, you know, pro-life, you know. And so I said, okay, well, let's not go. This was in 2008, actually, this happened. And I asked her, I said, you know, let's not listen to what either candidate is saying. Let's not even listen to what either party is saying. Let's go see how they voted, because you will know them by their fruit. So I took her, in 2008, it was McCain and Obama. Not that we had a huge choice, but we had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I took her and I walked her through on her computer to the Arizona Senate, and he had voted for life. Then I walked her through the Arizona Senate. Then I walked her through the Illinois Senate, and wow, well, that man, you know, obviously Obama, had voted for, not only did he vote for partial birth abortion, but he voted that if that child should survive that partial birth abortion, mm-hmm. that child should be murdered. Now, the point is, immediately out of her mouth, she says to me, oh my gosh, Sue, I would have voted for a man that believes in death. Well, 5 minutes ago when she told me that she was, you know, Democrat and pro, you know, she was a Democrat, it was about the donkey. And one thing that I think your listeners have to understand, it has nothing to do about the donkey or the elephant. It's all about the lamb. And if we are Christians, we have to go and vote and get into the culture of what does God say? Well, God believes in life. So unequivocally, the sixth commandment says, thou shalt not murder, period. It doesn't say, well, if there's rape or if there's incest. And yes, those are all terrible, terrible things, but that's sin. That's sin in the world. But we have to go by what God says, and God will honor that. And if we choose not to do that, then we have usurped commandment number one, which is you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because then we've made ourselves God. And so I think we have to be very careful of not being so worried about what our neighbor thinks or what our spouse thinks or what does God think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of our books is God is the Issue by Brad Bright. And what does God say about that? And I think that your listeners, and this is what we've done at WIN, and it's been incredibly successful, is that when we start to ask, what is important to you? Not, again, not to your spouse, your best friend, your neighbor, your friends, but what really is important to you? And then, how do you articulate what you believe? Once you've told me what you believe, well, why do you believe that? Most people can't even tell you why they're a Christian. You know, there are pastors that were asked, why are you a Christian and why are you a pastor? And half of them can't even tell you. Because we need to be able to articulate what we believe and why we believe it. And then we can go out and engage in the culture. Because I think a lot of times people, the other side sounds like they know what they're talking about. And we're afraid to offend anybody.
Sure. Okay, let me jump in here real fast. When we're talking, let's say, with our friends or with our family members, especially since this most recent election, where there's been so much contention, there have been family members who are fighting against each other in reference to, you know, Trump versus Hillary. You know, obviously Trump won, but that was a big surprise win, and there were many Thanksgiving tables, whatever, where unfortunately there were the conflicts that have arisen over this. So what's the best way as Christians to just try and be promoters of peace on the one hand, and on the other hand, promoters of God's values and God's truth? And you're absolutely right. God will hold us accountable. There's no one alive that will not be standing before Jesus Christ one day and giving an account for their lives. And so many people live, Sue, as if that's not a fact, and they're wrong. They're staking their whole eternal future on the prospect that, hey, Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead 2,000 years ago. It's crazy. So my fundamental question, though, is how do we engage people in conversations without alienating them, especially in this day when so much politics is acerbic now?
Well, I think what you just said was, you know, first of all, again, it has to go to, do we have the courage of our convictions, number one? Well, number two is, what are our convictions? And I think the problem is...
So we must know ourselves then what it is we believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have to know, that's why we ask, what is important to you? What really is important to you? And then why is it important to you? And so as a Christian, well, obviously our faith has to be important. Well, then we can't compartmentalize it, and that's the problem. We compartmentalize it. We're not living. We live in our houses nice. We go to church and we talk Christian, and then we go into the parking lot, and everybody's honking at each other or giving the number one, you know, finger or whatever. It's terrible because are we reading God's word?
Hmm.
I don't know. It seems to me that we've lost the fact that we want everything to be very quick. We want a 10-minute sermon instead of, you know, way back when we had, you know, when we were in church for a good hour and a half and really listened to God's word.
1 minute left. 1 minute left.
You know,
go on.
Okay. So, but anyway, I think what we have to do is just really, really know what we believe and then go out and be the person that God has you being. And if you offend somebody, you know, you don't have to scream and yell at them, but don't offend somebody. You will offend God if you don't stand for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to stand for truth, know what we believe. And once you know what you believe, then you're really not going to be as upset. Yes, it is upsetting, but you're more calm. I know that I'm more calm because I know truth. And so by asking questions and getting that, people will start to realize that that they can trust you because they may not agree with you, but they're like, wow, that person really, I want to be like that person.
So in other words, we need to really care enough to listen to what they're having to say. We're basically out of time. Again, Sue Trombino has been our guest. WomenImpactingTheNation.org for more information. Sue, thank you so much. God bless you and all the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye now.